How's everyone doing? All ready for Christmas? So, yeah. We were very late organising Christmas this year, partly because we were decorating our house, but literally I think most of our shopping was done yesterday, so anyway. I haven't prepped the AV person at the back, so we'll see if they can keep up with the queues today, but we'll see how we go. I don't know what it was like for you growing up at Christmas time. For me growing up, Christmas time was great. I'd love to open presents and spend time with what seemed like the whole Christmas holidays playing with my toys. If anyone knows me, I don't really like to sit still. I'm not the kind of person that likes to sit still and do nothing. In a room full of friends, I just would love to play a good board game. And even now, sometimes I can be a little bit socially inept, okay? In a room full of adults, I don't really want to sit and talk about the world. I just want to sit and have some fun. But here is a short 2-minute clip of me with my family when I was younger. I've probably cropped out my sister most on this to short the video, and as that's what brothers do. And you may want to cover your ears at some points because the Brummie accents are quite strong and it's a little bit high-pitched. But if we could play the video, that would be fabulous. Okay, we might come back to that. But I can assure you that on that video, I was quite a cute kid once. I was quite a cute kid. Matt, you can give me a thumbs up when you're ready, if it's going to work. So I don't really know what happened, really. I was a cute kid, and then I got a little bit older. And over the years, somehow, I think my perspective on Christmas time and presents has changed a little bit. I don't know if it was when I first went on mission trip to Hope and Kindness in Kenya, or when I started working and appreciated the value of money, or even when we moved to a new house and I realised how many rubbish things that I owned. Terrible Christmas that I've been given over the years, maybe from some of you guys in here. Sponges, elastic bands, guns, man fume, okay? But one day I must have woken up and thought to myself, is there anything that I actually really need this Christmas? Is there anything that I actually really need this Christmas? And it must drive my family a little bit crazy because they always ask me what I want for Christmas. And I always say, I don't really know. What is it that I really actually need? Now, I've just had the thumbs up from Matt at the back, so we're just going to pause and show the video. When I was a child, obviously, that's mom's favourite toy. It's basically like the male version of a Barbie, isn't it, really? Anyway, when I was a child, obviously, I would get excited about opening my presents. But now, yes, exact reaction. But now my perspective has changed. Now I get excited about watching people open the presents that I've carefully selected for them. It brings me joy to see people liking their presents. But what causes us to actually part ways with our money and actually give someone a gift? Maybe you guys can relate to some of these. Are you the kind of person that is the late-minute shopper? It's Christmas, and any gift will do. You will pay whatever the price to make sure that no one misses out. Or are you the kind of person that looks for a bargain and the value of the gift was more than what you actually paid for it? Or are you that person that will look for the most expensive gift and blow the budget just to top last year's Christmas? You see, I believe that over a few years, it can be so easy to lose perspective on why we actually give. You know, I think initially we used to give because we wanted to share that enjoyment of Christmas with other people or to show people that we really, really care about them. But this is my big question for you guys today. What is the greatest gift that somebody can actually give? Well, I'm going to tell you. And you might be thinking, well, that's great. It's going to be a nice short message today. You'll be wrong. Okay. The greatest gift you can give someone is sharing Jesus. And as cliche and cheesy as it might sound, and as many times as you guys may have heard this in church, I think we can all admit over time we can get so consumed with our own lives that we forget sometimes to share Jesus with other people. It's a little like Christmas. We can spend so much time in prepping for a great Christmas. It can be sometimes a little bit stressful that we can forget to actually enjoy the season with our families and friends. A prime example of this is when someone becomes a new Christian. I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but you see it time and time again when they become a new Christian that they are so excited about how God has changed their life that they can't help but share Jesus with other people and invite those people to church as well. But over time, I think it's a little bit like Christmas. That joy that a child has opening their presents seems to dissipate a little bit as they get older. We become a little bit like spoiled children that are just used to having everything offered on a plate. That it loses that something a little bit special sometimes. When I look back, I was so privileged when I was younger. Oh yeah. Every day, I never had to see my parents worrying about where the next meal would come. I never had to be worried about being bullied at school or worried about the future based upon my exam results, because Jesus has always supplied all of my needs. I know this scripture really, really well. It's my favorite, one of my favorite scriptures, and it's Matthew 6, verses 25 to 27. And it says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Church, today, I believe we have an absolutely an amazing testimony that we don't ever have to worry. Why? Because God supplies all our needs. Because God transforms lives. Because God performs miracles. Because God is good every single day. I want to encourage you, if you don't experience God being good every single day, I want to encourage you, I'm not sure that you are looking for him. God is good every single day. But sometimes we just forget sometimes how good we've actually got it. We sometimes forget to share it with other people. We assume because life is okay for us. And let's face it, in this country, I think life is fine. Regardless of how hard you think life in this country is so much easier than in other countries. We get so consumed with trying to make our own lives perfect that we forget sometimes about everybody else in the world. And I want to ask this question, which might seem a little bit of a funny question before Christmas. But the question is this, have we got fat? Now you might be thinking, Josh, you should be asking this after I've had the Christmas turkey and all the chocolates. But no, I'm asking you the question before. In this country, we spend so much money on Christmas presents. It is unbelievable. Each month we spend money on our Netflix accounts, Spotify, Sky, Virgin, mobile phone contracts, tablets. We spend so much of our time watching the latest TV series, YouTube, our social media accounts, that sometimes we can lose so much of our precious time and resource. The church in England, note, I didn't say the church of England, so the church in England has got fat, and sometimes we've got a little bit lazy. We all strive to live more comfortable lives. I do it every single day. I try to be a little bit more efficient in my own life. I try to be better, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. But we can't live just for comforts, because the problem is living more comfortably, sometimes it comes with more luxuries. And those luxuries, the problem with those luxuries are sometimes they just distract us from what God has actually called us to do. Do you know, the enemy, one of his strongest tactics is this, to distract us from what God has called us to do, to share the greatest gift, which is Jesus. Do you know, there are some really rubbish Christmas presents around. I think we've got a slide to show you if it works. Tiny hands, we had these at our Secret Santa at our youth group. A poo hat, terrible presents. Or some underpants for your hands, okay? There are some really terrible joke presents that you can buy for people and waste your money on. And these are all bad presents. But do you know what the worst gift is that we can give someone today? The worst gift is the gift of not sharing Jesus with people at all. not sharing what God has done in our own life. This is fundamentally the worst gift or the lack of a gift ever. But how does it happen? How do we get to a point where we are either ashamed or forget the importance of sharing Jesus Christ with those around us? I have a slight illustration for you today, but I'm going to need two confident volunteers that don't mind speaking out. Do we have two confident volunteers? If we don't have two confident volunteers, oh, we have a Pam. Oh, are we going for Rory or Simon? Rory, come on then. Come on then, Rory. Pam. Can you stand there? Rory, can you stand there? I've got something for you. Okay. Pam, don't look at it yet. It's not wrapped. Right, this is the way that this is going to go down. I want you to imagine it's Christmas Eve. Think of the most important person in your life, other than Jesus, the most important person, and you realise you forgot to buy them a Christmas present. You go out on Christmas Eve and there's only one shop open. I don't know who has a shop open on Christmas Eve. Only one shop open, and you walk in through the door and there are these two wonderful sales reps. Okay, these sales reps are going to sell you an item. You've only got enough money for one of these items. Okay, and you guys cannot tell anybody what is in the boxes. You cannot describe what the item is, but you need to describe why they should buy it. Does that make sense? So have a quick peek at your items. Okay. And I'm going to give you 30 seconds each to try and persuade our congregation to buy your item. Fairly, you just can't give it away. Just try not to give it away, right? Yeah? Anybody want to go first? Ladies first. Okay, Pam, you have 30 seconds.
Right. Well, if you know Jesus and you have confidence in our Lord that he can answer all your prayers and you want to really bless somebody this Christmas, this is the must-have. Forget all the other ones. This will bring so much joy to others. And our Lord God will bless you mightily for forgetting all the other gifts, but just giving this special one this Christmas. And more than anything else, it doesn't cost a lot. It doesn't cost you a lot. It's cost our Lord a lot. But this gift is just amazing.
Okay, and that's time. Well done. Anybody sold so far? Rory, you ready?
This gift will help you dramatically with relieving oneself. It will help you dramatically with comfort and peace of mind, I think, in many situations. Woven from the fabric of God's nature itself, I think you'll be lush, and it's very cheap and very easy to manufacture, so no worries there. It's easy, simple to wrap, simple shape. Not particularly big, so that's useful. Very lightweight, also handy.
Okay, I think that is time, Rory. Okay. Does anybody want to choose which item we're going to go for today? Okay. Shout out loud if you want Pam. Say Pam. Shout out loud if you want Rory's. That's pretty close, to be fair, right? I'm going to show you both. Do you think that's fair? Okay. Go on then, Pam. What's your item?
Anointing oil.
Anointing oil. Well done. Toilet roll. Okay, brilliant. Rory, I think you sold that way too well. You must spend a lot of time of your day using that. Okay, you guys can take your presents away if you want, or I'd like to have the boxes back, would be nice, but okay. Fabulous. Yeah. Do you know, it's really hard, isn't it, sometimes, actually selling something to someone that you're not really that passionate about. I mean, Rory did pretty well with the toilet roll, but sometimes it's quite hard, isn't it? Just get it out there. It's the same with our faith sometimes, sharing our faith. Sometimes it's a bit hard to share it. If we lack the love for God, let me tell you something. We also lack the drive to share our faith. If we have fallen out of love with the Lord Jesus Christ, we've also makes it very difficult for us to share our faith. Let's turn to Luke chapter 10, verses 25 to 28. Many of you will have heard the story of the Good Samaritan. The story goes like this: there's a Jewish man walking down a street and he gets beaten up by bandits along the road. Two very highly esteemed Jewish men, religious men, rich men, walk past at separate times and realize, I do not want to help this Jewish man because I may end up being beaten up myself. But finally, a Samaritan man comes along. Bearing in mind, Samaritans and Jews did not get on very well. And the Samaritan man decides to help the Jewish man. He takes him to an inn and pays for all the food that he needs. He pays to help him recover and to have healthcare or whatever it may be, have his wounds bandaged back up again. And he also says, on my way back round, if there's any extra cost to the innkeeper, I will pay for it. We've all know this story. A lot of people know this story. But some of us probably haven't read the bit that just is before it. And this is verse 25. This is how Jesus got on to telling this story about somebody helping somebody out. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this, and you will live. Guys, I believe that sometimes we can spend our whole lives existing, but not really living life to the full. If you guys really, really want to live, I want to suggest something to you that we need to learn to love the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be some people in this room that will understand this message in their head. And there'll be others of you that will also understand this message in your heart as well. There'll be some people here that may class themselves as Christians, but will not grasp here what I'm going to say to you guys today. And that is, unless you spend each day loving the Lord your God with all your heart, unless you spend each day refalling in love with Jesus and what he did for us, you will never really live life to the full. When you truly love God, your perspective in life changes. You no longer live for yourself, but you live to serve others. And I want to elaborate that every time we do a selfish act and don't consider others, it is because we haven't first loved God, we have put ourselves first. I don't know if sometimes you can have a really good day because you spent time with Jesus. And other days you forget to spend time with Jesus and you have a really bad day. I think it's sometimes to do with the perspective that we have. For the first time when I read this, I realized something. The man asked Jesus, what do I do to inherit eternal life? And in order to do this, he must love God. But this isn't just a one-way transaction here, guys. In genuinely loving God, okay, you receive not only eternal life, but you also receive a secure future. But you also receive an eternal perspective. And because of that, you can't help but to love your neighbor. Does that make sense? The more we love God, the more we love other people. In loving God, you receive eternal life and a secure future. You receive an eternal perspective and you no longer are satisfied by the Christmas presents you receive. You no longer get your satisfaction from receiving gifts, but from seeing others grow in Christ. But by seeing others accept the gift of salvation that you guys have also already been given. There'll be some people sat in this room that will try and help where they can because it's the right Christian thing to do. We all try to do good things, don't we, sometimes? We like the idea of being a Christian, but let me tell you, just being the idea of being a Christian will not do. We'll never be able to give genuinely to others and have a perspective that reaps rewards for eternal purposes until first they experience the love of Jesus and then learn to love Jesus every single day. Do you know, I quite like that video of me as a child. The excitement that Christmas used to bring me. But it is nothing compared to the excitement that God is giving me now. Somehow God has transformed that excitement I used to experience from receiving gifts to the excitement of seeing someone open the gift of salvation. Because let me tell you, it is actually infectious. It is infectious to see how a drug addict can now be free from addiction. To see a child at such a young point grasp the gospel. To see teenagers doing something to help the less fortunate. And to see adults who think that they have nothing to give, give their time and energy into sharing Jesus. I want to tell you all here today that miracles do happen. But they all come at a cost. And the cost sometimes is our own time. It's our own money. And it's whatever God has called us to do. Do you know Jesus paid the ultimate price with his own life? We will never live up to that. But I want to ask you guys the question this Christmas. What is the cost that you are willing to pay to share Jesus Christ? How far will you go to share Jesus Christ? We're going to turn to Matthew chapter 14, verses 14 to 21. You've all heard the story of Jesus feeds the 5,000. Maybe some of you haven't, but I think a majority of us have here. And it goes like this. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them and healed their sick. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place, and it's already getting late. Send the crowds away so they can go to the villages and buy themselves some food." I always find it amazing where the disciples come up with a great idea, and then Jesus changes it all around. And he says here, Jesus replied, "They don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. What are you going to do about this situation? Why do they have to go away? Why do they have to go away and not experience me?" Disciple says, "We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, they answered. "Bring them here to me," he said, and he directed the people to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was about 5,000 men, besides women and children. Do you know, when the Bible was constructed, the title headings were added after the scripture was actually written? Why were they added? It was to help us break down and to read the scriptures. Can anybody tell me what the title heading of these verses are? Jesus feeds the 5,000. So can anybody tell me who fed the 5,000? Jesus fed the 5,000. You're ahead of me, Kate. It's great. Jesus fed the 5,000. Who did the miracle? Jesus, God, did the miracle. Jesus does the miracle. I believe what we read here is this. Jesus initiated and did the miracles, but it was the disciples who actually gave out the food. I wonder today, are you willing to be the one that lets God do the miracle? Are you the one that's willing to step aside and allow space? Are you willing to humble yourself and be the one that actually assists in it? Jesus does the miracle, but he chooses to do it through each and every single one of us in this room. Jesus did the miracle, but he used his disciples to perform it. It's a great demonstration of God's power, I think. See, God doesn't need to just do the miracle by himself. He chooses to actually extend it to you guys and for me and for us to help with the miracle. So I want to ask you, what is the greatest present you can give to someone today? Is it your time? Is it your money? Or is it actually anything that God asks us to do today? If you value the gift of salvation really highly, I can guarantee this, that you will sacrifice much of your life to see people being saved. It's a little bit like this. If you value real Christmas trees as opposed to fake ones, That is where you will spend your money on real Christmas trees. And what is it that you value most in life? What is the biggest thing that you value most in life? And I want to ask you that question. Are you willing to give up that thing to pursue God, what God is asking for you to do today? Will you go to the ends of the world to see what Jesus can do? I am not a big fan of New Year's resolutions. Because as I said before, I think we should be constantly assessing our lives. We should be constantly trying to improve our lives, to be better people. But I wonder over the course of the rest of this service and through all the Christmas celebrations, are you going to create room this year to decide really what the priority is in your life? What is it for 2020 that is so important that you'll be willing to sacrifice your time, energy, and money for? A good judge of something worthwhile is this. Will it last? Are you going to invest time in something that it will last? I've spent most of my life working in church now, and I've spent most of my time invested in the youth work. I would love to see that it goes to a point that whenever I have to move on from doing youth work, that it carries on into eternity. That we pass on something to the generation below that will continue to pass on and pass on and pass on into eternity. Will what we work towards have a knock-on effect into eternity? We all know the scripture, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that forever whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. But I also like this scripture in 1 John 3 verses 16. Because it also applies to us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? That is a hard scripture. Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. Do you know, some Mondays I go up and do the church banking up at the bank. The amount of times you walk past somebody that is homeless, that has no money, that they might be able to be struggling mentally. The amount of people that we walk past, I don't know how many people when you went shopping the other day in the Kingfisher Town Centre that you walked past, that their lives are in pieces. That they really, really are struggling. I want to end today by giving you guys two options. And some of you in this room might be like thinking, do you know what, Josh? I don't really like what you've had to say today. I don't really want to take any of these options. But I'm going to tell you this. With the options I'm going to show you, it's impossible to go away without choosing one choice. Because by rejecting one of the choices today, you'll be accepting the other. You equally can't take away both of these options. These choices are too different from each other. And these are the options I'm going to give you guys today. I'm sorry if today has been a little bit heavy, but I hope it's good food for thought. Option one is this. Today you could be like most of the ailing Christian population in the UK and go away just as you are, living to enjoy life and take the gifts that are given to you this Christmas. If you take this option, there is no response that you guys need to do today. You don't need to do anything at all. You guys can go away and live your life as it is. Or you can take option number two. Today, you can go and leave this place, choosing to live life differently, strategically choosing to sacrifice some of those things in life that might be important to us, but are things that will never but things that will never carry into eternity. My question to you this Christmas, as we head into the new year, what are some of the things that you need to sacrifice to make yourself more available for what God has in store for you? Make yourself more available so that you can share the gospel more effectively to other people. For some of us in this room, it may be that our jobs are an obstacle. That we need to change our job to be more available. For some of it, it might be addictions that we have. Even addictions to our phones. Callum, I'm joking. It's fine. All teenagers are like it, I know. Church, what do we need to give up? You guys could respond to this option in any way that you want to today. It is your choice to go away today. However, I'm going to give you an opportunity today. There is a piece of paper down on this table. We'll stick it down in the middle. And I want you to symbolically write down, what is it that you need to give up in life this Christmas? Ready for the new year. And as we come round communion today, let's remember the sacrifice Jesus made for us by dying on the cross and forgiving us for our sins. As a symbol, write down on your piece of paper one more thing, or at least one or more things that you feel like God is calling you to sacrifice this year. Scrunch up the piece of paper and put it in the bin that sits between the communion tables today. No one will look at the piece of paper afterwards. This is just purely between you and God. But what do you need to give up today in order for you to live the life that God has called for you today? What is it that you need to give up to see that God break in? What is it that you need to see given up to see that God is going to change this world? I want to tell you guys and end with this. There's a whole world out there that is waiting for you to show them Jesus. There are people out there that only you guys can reach because you guys are the people that are there. You are there in the workplaces. You are there walking down the streets. You are there with friends. You are there with families. But I want to ask you the question, are you available to meet with those people today? Should we pray? Father God, I just thank you for everybody in this room. Lord, I thank you that they are so important and so precious to you that you would send your only son, Jesus, to die on that cross for us, for the things that we've done wrong. But Father God, I pray today as we go out of this room, we will not be the same people that we have already been. Lord, help us to be better givers. Lord, help us to sacrifice more of our own lives. Lord, help us to sacrifice more of those things that are just not important. Lord, help us to sacrifice those things that just get in the way of you transforming lives. So, Father God, I pray, Lord, as we take communion, Lord, as we listen to the worship, Lord, help us to press in with you. Lord, help us not forget what you've done for us and how important it is and how exciting it is that you perform miracles and you change lives. Father God, today, I just pray that you'll come and move in this place.